The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
And Healy in for Pat Kenny this morning. The Taoiseach has arrived in Ukraine, where he is going to meet Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, after he was invited to visit the country. Hugh O'Connell is political correspondent with the Irish Independent. This is an invitation that was issued recently. What is the Taoiseach hoping to achieve, Hugh?
I think it's an effort, really, Jonathan, to show Ireland's continued solidarity with the people of Ukraine and its opposition, total opposition to the aggression by Russia, which has seen it invade Ukraine earlier this year. And the war is dragging on now. It's slipped down the news agenda a little bit. And I suppose Ukraine is trying to ensure that it is kept on the agenda as much as possible, not just on the news agenda, I suppose, internationally, but also that it is kept on the agenda of European leaders. It's obviously been bidding to become a member of the European Union, and the Taoiseach is someone who has been an enthusiastic supporter of that. He was invited, as you say, by President Volodymyr Zelensky back in a couple of weeks ago, prior to when they held a phone conversation prior to a European Council meeting that the Taoiseach attended. And the Taoiseach at the time said, he kind of strangely said he would keep the invitation under review. But in fact, it seems that work was begun at that stage to organise this trip, which was really done under a shroud of secrecy. It wasn't apparent to anyone yesterday in Leinster House that he had departed for Ukraine. It was only when he went missing, or rather he was not present for leaders' questions that Taoiseach is standing in for him, and that we started doing a bit of digging here in the Irish Independence offices and discovered that in fact he was en route to Poland, where he would then travel into Ukraine over land today. So he began his visit, according to reports on from journalists out there this morning. RT have a presence out there. He began the visit with a trip to Burdianka, which is a town on the outskirts of Kyiv, that has been heavily shelled by Russian artillery. And then he he passed Hostomel Airport, where his convoy observed a demolished bridge. And then they drove past various bombed out buildings, warehouses, shopping centres, petrol stations. And he has also visited the town of Bucha, which of course your listeners will be familiar with, for the discovery of a mass grave and the awful atrocities by Russian by the Russian army there. So he will meet with President Zelensky later on today, where I imagine he will say more as regards this trip. But obviously he was kept very quiet, and the government press office only confirmed the visit this morning. And the Taoiseach said in advance of the visit that the people of Ireland stand with Ukraine and its people in the face of Russia's immoral and unprovoked war of terror.
It is a challenge because Ireland can only do so much in the circumstance. We have given them some support, but no real hard military and no weaponry.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, that's the position that Ireland has adopted as in line with its neutrality. It has contributed to millions of euro to what's known as non-lethal aid to the Ukrainian war effort. So this is things like medical supplies, body armor, these kind of things, but not weapons, as you say. And that's obviously something that is a bone of contention for some, but it is in keeping with Ireland's longstanding position of being militarily neutral. And of course, we have opened our doors in great numbers to Ukrainians arriving, fleeing the war, refugees, well over 25, I think close to 30, if not more than 30,000 have now arrived in Ireland in recent months. And we've been allocating the resources to look after these people, providing them with social welfare benefits if they're entitled to them, with PPS numbers so they can work, and providing them with the same opportunities we would provide the citizens of the European Union arriving into the country. So that's the support that Ireland has given and will continue to give, I think, in the months and years ahead as this war looks like it's dragging on.
Some pictures have just dropped from Niall Carson of PA of the Taoiseach in Borodianka, which is that region to the west of Kyiv. You mentioned that he was there passing by shelled out buildings, badly burned buildings. Clearly the destruction from 4 months of war, very, very visible to one Taoiseach as he's there. It's a busy couple of days ahead. He's due to attend the British-Irish Council in Guernsey later this week as well, and he'll be taking a very close interest in what's happening across the water with regard to the Northern Protocol. They're probably going to go hard on that now as they try to distract from their other issues, Hugh.
Look, I mean, I think things are in flux over the water, quite frankly, Jonathan. I mean, it's not clear how long more Boris Johnson can survive. There's more resignations of more junior more junior figures within the ministerial ranks this morning. I think there'll be more as the day goes on, and probably more as the days go on. And so, to what extent Boris Johnson can continue to withstand pressure from his own party to resign, would be interesting to see. But as you say, obviously that has major implications with regard to the impasse over the Northern Ireland Protocol. But I think it's very much a watching brief here in Dublin. I mean, we're all pretty fascinated by what's going on.
It's incredible to watch it, you. Yeah, I mean, you and I are both political nerds. Let's just admit that. But we have had political crises over the years here, and even going back to Gubu, which the Irish Times has this wonderful podcast on recently that I just listened to. You know, our rows, our discussions always had meat, and people in there who at least outwardly had the decency to know when it was time to go. Boris Johnson has consistently been caught in a lie, has surrounded himself by sycophants. It is the most remarkable political period.
It truly is, Jonathan. I mean, I think, you know, we have definitely had Taoiseach in our history who have resisted resignation and have survived, you know, a myriad of scandals. When you think back to the likes of Charlie Haughey and even Bertie Ahern, notwithstanding his great electoral success, you know, I mean, he did ultimately resign under a shroud of controversy. But I think that the extent of the bad news, the controversies, the parties, the sleaze that has engulfed Boris Johnson is unprecedented, really, and the fact that he has survived this is quite telling, I suppose, and quite interesting, and gives you kind of an insight into the state of British politics right now. I mean, I think, you know, we always looked at the Donald Trump presidency as one that was an aberration, and it couldn't really happen anywhere else in the Western world. Well, we're getting it in the United Kingdom as we speak, and still he remains on as Prime Minister, and he's obviously appointed successors to Rishi Sunak as Chancellor and Savid Javid as the Health Secretary. So he's ploughing on, and he's clinging on, and I think we'll be watching with great interest over the next few days as to what happens, as they will, in government buildings.
Yeah, it gives us something to talk about other than the weather, Hugh, which is a good thing, isn't it?
Indeed.
Yeah, right. Hugh O'Connell, political correspondent with the Irish Independent. Thank you for that.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.